What's up, everybody? Welcome to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I am Chris Farley, Farley Betts on X, Pro Sports Bettor, football contest specialist, won significant prize money in circa twice the last 3 years. As a reminder, I will provide my insight here on a weekly basis, including leans on every game. Some of those leans will be actual plays, bets I'm making and giving out to my paying subscribers. But I will not indicate what my real bets or plays are. That wouldn't be fair to my clients. You could become a paying subscriber by visiting my Substack. Just search for Farley Betts on the Substack platform. Direct URL is farleybets.substack.com. You can also get my daily or weekly plays at sportsmemo.com. Just ask if you want a full season package. Go through Substack. I get 100% of that. Keeps this engine running so that I can keep on giving you insight like this every single week, because this is what I do now. This is all I do now. Little scheduling change I just want to bring up. And obviously, this is new for me. I'm live on Twitter, on X. Maybe I'll do this at least once a week, probably for this show, the Leans and Analysis show of every slate. But little scheduling change. Monday is going to be the recap show, Laying the Points recap show. Wednesday is a new show, the contest show, I'm going to call it, because we're going to talk about Survivor and ATS contests, what I think about those weeks, and contest strategy on how to keep winning and stay at the top of your pools. And then this show, which is now on Thursday, will switch to Friday for my analysis and leans on every game for the weekend. I also want to just emphasize that this show is mainly for the common Joe or Josephine, the guys and girls that get to the window later in the week. If you're a pro bettor, you're probably already have been to the window or been on your phone or whatever the hell you bet, as you should. But this is for the common Joe and Josephine out there. Every week covering these matchups from a betting perspective. Last week we went 6-4 for plus 5.388 units. Back on the mend, as we predicted. And finally, this podcast, this show will also be available via Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and of course, on Substack. Okay, week four. Let's get started. First of all, I want to say I'm wearing my Giants shirt for a very particular reason here. I don't usually rep my New York Giants very often. I'll get to that later. But I'm proudly repping it today. One message I just want to say before we start, before we get into this slate. What's up, Steve? I see your comments, Steve. What's going on, my man? Week four, my advice, I just posted on X, don't be stupid. Don't be dumb. Okay. 3 weeks is not enough of a sample size to make any absolute gargantuan statements about these teams. Okay. We know a lot. We know some things. But as you, any one of these teams, you could say they kind of look different week to week. A little bit, right? There are injuries to deal with. So let's just hold off on the absolutes. Okay, that is how you should be thinking with pretty much everything in life, but especially for a three-game sample size in the NFL. Okay, let's get to tonight's game. I already have a lot of content about tonight's game up on my Substack. You can go check that out. Got some fantasy things you can look at. Got my complete leans on this game. Officially, I don't say what I do have officially or what I don't have officially on this show typically, but I will just say I don't have any bets in this game. My customers know that. No positions on this one. But I will say that I think this game is going to be decided from the Arizona pass offense. Like, can they wake up? Because if not, it's going to be a long day, and it's been very pedestrian so far. Both defenses in this game are very good. By the way, I should mention Arizona plus 2.5 at home. The total is 43. Arizona has been very good against the run, and I think that will continue. Seattle's run offense, not very good. Kenneth Walker III, very average so far, below average really in most categories. So the Cardinals can force Sam Darnold to win this game. Now, so far, so good for Sammy. He's been really good under pressure. Been very accurate, right? I think PFF or some publication like that just said he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL so far. So he can get the job done, and I think he's going to need to. But regression after a bad loss, a game they were kind of hanging around in, right? That safety was sort of lucky at the end, but 1-point loss against the 49ers last week. regression in the spot slightly favors the Cardinals. They are at home. But I will say, James Conner, big miss, right? Like, this is not only their stalwart running back, he's a leader in the locker room. He's going to be missed. Jackson Smith Najigba, on the other hand, for Seattle, has been brilliant. Second in yards, reception yards, among all wide receivers. I think Seattle's overall more talented. Neither team has much of a pass rush. So let's see which quarterback thrives. I think looking at Kyler Murray's rushing yards is interesting here, because he's going to want to create. He's going to have to create, I think. And Julian Love and Devon Witherspoon are both going to suit up tonight. They've been a little banged up. So I, you know, initially I leaned Arizona. I lean Seattle now. No officials on this one, but Sam Darnold's going to have to win this one, and I think he just might. Over to Dublin, Minnesota, at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not in Pittsburgh, in Dublin. The Steelers are +2.5. They were initially, I believe, favorites, or this was even. Minnesota now 2.5-point favorites in Dublin. Totals 40.5. So that's kind of weird, right? Because total's gone down, low total, but the odds makers and bettors are saying that Minnesota is going to win this game around a field goal. Both defenses, you would think, should thrive in this one, because Carson Wentz, not really a big test for him last week, right? He's at home in the dome. Cincinnati obviously has one of the worst defenses in the NFL. I mean, bottom three, at least. Was able to do whatever he wanted, but Cincinnati also turned the ball over right away, so Carson Wentz didn't really have to do much. Now, Pittsburgh has not been a good defense. Really, you know, production-wise, like limiting offenses, hasn't been good. But they wreaked havoc, last week, and that's what Pittsburgh does, right? Two goal line turnovers, 5 sacks, 8 quarterback hits. I don't love Carson Wentz in this spot. and I think he is going to be tested in Dublin. It was rainy on Saturday, it's going to be rainy all day Saturday. So Sunday is going to be mucky, wet. It's an unfamiliar territory. Like, these are the types of games where the Steelers typically thrive, because it's ugly, right? It's like not going to be a win that's necessarily very impressive. Now, Minnesota has to get to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers can't move, in case you haven't noticed. So really, the defenses are going to decide this game. Lean to the under. I don't see a lot of points in this one, but Pittsburgh is also rarely blown out, only 4 times the last 2 seasons by double-digit margins. I mean, one of them was this year, you know, week 2 at home against the Seahawks, but we know how many crazy things happened in that game. Pittsburgh makes an interesting teaser leg. I lean Pittsburgh here, but that, you know, as ugly as the weather is probably going to be in Dublin, I think that's how this game is going to look. I appreciate all the comments, Steve, and I see some other comments coming in. I probably won't be able to respond to them during the show just because I got all my notes and shit in front of me, but I appreciate that, and I will, if I have time at the end, we try to keep this 30 minutes. If I have time at the end, I'll try to take a look if anyone has any questions. Saints at the Bills. I don't think I have to talk much about this game. Bills are 15.5-point favorites. Total is 47.5. Circa Survivor estimating 35% to 50% of the entries will be on the Bills here. You know, Bills over 2 touchdowns it's a ton of points for any team, right? Easily the largest spread so far this season. Obviously, Josh Allen has looked great. Like, the Bills are a top 3 team. That's obvious. It hasn't been perfect, though, right? And offense slowed down a little bit last week. Miami started to figure things out. Saints are producing a little more offense than expected. I mean, they're average in many categories, which to me is a huge plus compared to what we expected coming into this season. 19th in yards per game, 19th in the red zone. Spencer Rattler not throwing many interceptions, 66.12% completion percentage. Not bad, Spencer, not bad. Maybe if the Saints care about the season, which that's starting to be a question, right? Like, the Saints have to know this isn't a Super Bowl team. I mean, I'm sure they knew that before the season, but how much are we going to invest in this year? Are we going to see Tyler Shug eventually? I still don't, like, how do you spell your name like that and you pronounce it Shug? Names are crazy. But if there's any semblance of motivation and fire in the Saints, they've played formidably enough where I think they can hang around in this one. So I'll lean Saints. Obviously, don't feel great about it. It's at Orchard Park. If you're in Survivor, you might want to consider saving the Bills. But if you really look at the schedule and, you know, the way like certain teams have certain good spots, which I'll talk about this kind of stuff more next week in my contest show, you don't really need the Bills as much as you might think later in the season. You know, you might just want to have the Bills in your Survivor because top three team, right? It's the Bills. But do you need them down the road? I'm not so sure. Titans at the Texans. Texans, 7-point favorites at home. Total's 38.5. I've said this a few times this week. I know in my articles and such. I'll say it again here. I rewatched the film in the Jacksonville-Houston game last week, and it was a tough, tough watch. I'm not sure how much I can put on CJ Stroud because, you know, guy's a good leader, right? Stays positive. He throws a good ball. We saw what he can do in two previous seasons, especially in his rookie campaign. But he's panicking and he's like getting hurried on every play. Not surprisingly, Pro Football Focus ranks Houston's offensive line as 32nd. No shit, right? Like this, they cannot protect CJ Stroud for any consistent length of time in these games. They have virtually no run game. You know, Tennessee's defense hasn't looked great, but they've also had kind of a hellish schedule. I mean, at Denver, the Rams and the Colts, those are three playoff teams, right? According to most people, Houston has yet to cover. Nico Collins is questionable, could sit for load management in this spot. And Houston, do they have any business being a 7-point favorite here? I mean, I made this -4.5, and it's not like I love Tennessee, or, you know, Tennessee hasn't shown us that much. But really, in Titans games, it's been one or two big mistakes, and that's what's caused the disparity in the scoring margin, right? But there's been good effort. We've seen some good things from their defense, although they certainly allow too many big plays at this point. But I can't take Houston as a 7-point favorite. So lean Tennessee. Houston makes an interesting teaser leg, I guess. But, I mean, does anyone feel comfortable this week, like even taking Houston in a survivor pool? I mean, I wouldn't. Cleveland at Detroit. Lions, 10-point favorites. Total's 44. That's interesting, right? Because that's saying that Detroit's defense is going to dominate this game, really limit what the Browns are doing, but that the Lions can still score many points. I'll say this. I believe in Cleveland's defense, and this is all about the perception, right? Odds makers and bettors are saying, we trust Cleveland at home, but we also trust the Lions at home, and they're looking at the Cleveland at Baltimore week 2 game and thinking that's going to be a repeat performance here. We're going to see a team like the Ravens, who just got beaten by the Lions last week. So now here come the Lions at home, and it's going to be the same result, right? Lions are going to blow out the Browns. I say not so fast. Jack Conklin could return. That would be a major uptick for the Browns' offensive line. He's their best offensive lineman. He's still questionable. I know he was day-to-day or limited in practice yesterday, but that would be a major upgrade. He's trending in the right direction. Flacco only sacked twice last week. You know, that win helps Cleveland gain some momentum and belief. I believe in the Lions too, right? But this is a letdown, an expected win kind of spot. Pros were on the Browns early, but now we've seen the line move up a little bit on the Lions, especially following Monday Night Football. So I lean Cleveland because it's too many points for that kind of defense. But I'll say this, like Flacco can't throw 2-3 interceptions. I mean, they're not going to cover if that happens. So Flacco has to be on point, or maybe we see a Dylan Gabriel sighting or something like that. But I don't think that this is going to be like a explosive Lions offense all four quarters at home just because that's what they do. The Browns defense, they've had the best defensive line in the NFL, and their secondary has been amazing. I mean, they've been really, really good. Even against the Ravens, right? The Ravens had a few chunk plays, but they didn't really move the ball for most of that contest. So Browns are legit. Can they be as legit on the road? I guess we're about to see. Odds makers better say no. Commanders at the Falcons. Falcons +1, totals 45.5. Feels like Jaden Daniels will sit again in this one. I mean, like, why push it? You know, this isn't the playoffs. The fact that he's still kind of like it's up to the doctors at this point is not a very good thing for me. If they play Marcus Mariota too, you know, he can be extra motivated against a former team here. It's hard to assess Washington after week three, right? Like, what do you take from that? That was a dumpster fire game from the Raiders. But the same can be said for Atlanta. Like, what the hell was that? I mean, Atlanta looked like one of the most buttoned up, motivated, like fired up and cerebral teams in the NFL in the first 2 weeks. And then that, like, that's the quintessential example of the up and down nature and the psychology of the NFL, right? These spots can be hugely important. But now Atlanta going back home after that embarrassment, I highly doubt they would be embarrassed in this spot. I do think they can run the ball on Washington. Washington's been very good against the pass for the most part. They're number one in the NFL in opponent completion percentage, but not as good against the run. Obviously, Bijan Robinson is a difference maker at home. Feels like this is going to be a high-scoring game, but to me, the matchup favors both defenses. I lean Atlanta, lean to the under. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. Okay, let me not show any bias here. Okay, no bias. I'm sure the Eagles will win. I'm sure they will, because that's what the Eagles do. The Eagles win, right? But let's just say this. Both teams could be 0-3 easily. I mean, end of game, final drives, blocked field goals. Both of these teams can be 0-3. And I think no Mike Evans for the Bucs. It's a big deal. It's not as big of a deal as it would be for most teams in the NFL. Baker has played extremely well. Their wide receiver depth is amazing. Like, no interceptions from Baker, 6 touchdowns, multiple game-winning drives already. Tampa Bay's defense is noticeably better. I think they're going to get Tristan Wirfs back this week, their best player on their offensive line, obviously. They'll need it. And this is a team that's beaten the Eagles in the divisional round again. So I have to lean Tampa Bay, especially at 3.5. I think that's still 3.5 at BetOnline. Lean Tampa Bay, but we know Philly wins ugly. If you get a 3.5 on a home team that knows how to beat another team, and we've seen it, got to take that or got to lean in that direction. Actually, full transparency, I don't have a play in this game. Okay, so I did not officially pick the Bucs in this game, by the way, but got to lean in their direction. I think it's going to be a close game. The Panthers at the Patriots. The first thing, the gut instinct I said here is, why do the Patriots deserve a 5.5 point designation at home? I know they're at home. I know they've won a few box scores, like 2 turnovers in the red zone last week. I get it, or on the goal line. But this is the same team that lost to the Raiders at home in week one. The Raiders probably should have lost against the Dolphins in week two. And then they blow it last week too. So, you know, the Patriots are still going through storming, forming, norming. Like, this is not a mature operation just yet. The Panthers also gained confidence from last week, right? Like, their defense looked terrific. Atlanta had a lot of garbage time in that game and still just had 5 yards per play. That's impressive. Carolina stayed disciplined, stayed stingy that entire game. They're putting the ball in Bryce Young. Man, maybe it's because I'm live or because I'm rushing because we're at 18 minutes already. I want to keep it to 30 minutes. Bryce Young looked better with the ball in his hand more. He's going to have to do that in this game especially because the Patriots, they've been pretty good against the run, 2nd in opponent yards per carry. But we still don't know enough about these two teams. Like, you know, based on the teams they've faced and the spots they've had, it's been very weird. Like, box scores aren't matching the final scores. Panthers look terrible in some first halves and then play really well in the second half. They played well last week. Is that going to continue? There's a lot up in the air about these two teams. But I will say this. New England's pass defense has not been special. Plenty of sacks, but they're 30th in opponent completion percentage, 31st in yards per pass allowed, 9.2 yards per pass allowed for the Patriots. So lean Carolina here. I don't think Patriots deserve this line. I think it should be -3. Okay, Giants. Let's talk Giants here. Talk about trying to eliminate bias. Usually when I talk about the Giants, I have to try to eliminate bias against the Giants because I've bet against the Giants so much in my professional betting career, and it's worked, right? Like, I know when to not trust the Giants. And in most cases, you don't trust the Giants. Here's the thing, and here's why I'm wearing this shirt. It might not happen right away. And week four is a big time first test and start for a rookie quarterback. I mean, my goodness, against the Chargers. But I really like Jackson Dart. I like him. I think he has the intangibles. He's poised. He's confident. He seems to know something, you know? Like, you see that in quarterbacks that know that they're good and know that they can make it and do well in the NFL. They seem to know something. And I don't think it's like foolish, pretentious kind of wisdom here. I think Jackson Dart knows, as he's probably seen in practice and some things that he's done already, that he can thrive even in the NFL. I expect a significant uptick in energy from the Giants in this game. Like, I've questioned Brian Daboll many times in the past, but I think he might have gotten this one right. I think this is the kind of kid who can, after a decade of boring offenses, can really spark the Giants offense finally and give him someone who can finally, you know, get a game-winning drive going or, like, get some first downs when they need it. I mean, for God's sake, that's how bad it's been for the Giants. I think it's like 7 out of the last 10 years the Giants have been one of the lowest scoring teams in the league, like bottom three. Now, on the other hand, of course, Justin Herbert and the Chargers, they're already there, right? Justin Herbert, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the NFL so far, making all the throws he needs to make. Again, still a little too much power on those long throws. Like, he needs to apply some touch. But Herbert's playing electric football right now. The defense always steps up. I lean Giants. Would not be surprised if the Chargers still cover. If this gets up to 7, maybe I'm interested in the Giants here, especially at home. This is a tough one, but I do think they got their guy in Jackson Dart. I think he's going to be pretty fucking good. Jaguars at the 49ers. 49ers minus 3, totals 47. If Brock Purdy plays, which he likely will, especially now that Mac Jones is a little banged up, I think the 49ers keep rolling here. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is still far too indecisive and or makes a bad decision about 5 to 6 times every game. Jacksonville's defense has been impressive, though. I like how they fly around the ball. Anthony Campanelli doing a good job with this group, but so is Robert Saleh, right? Like, the 49ers defense, even without Nick Bosa, obviously you want Bosa, but I think they're going to be okay. Mikel Williams is off the injury report. They still have plenty of guys. They're at home. A short week is incoming. San Francisco has to go to LA on Thursday, but that's a short trip. 49ers still the better team. I'm counting on Trevor Lawrence making a few mistakes here. I would lean to San Francisco. Colts at the Rams. Oddsmakers made a big statement when the spread initially came out. Rams minus 4.5, right? Oddsmakers saying, we don't care about your love for the Colts. This is a real contender. Now, of course, it's down to 3.5 because people do love the Colts. And they love what they're seeing. And like I said on the Monday show, you can't make mistakes against the Colts because the Colts are not making mistakes. No turnovers so far. Daniel Jones playing really mature, buttoned-up football. But the Rams are not the kind of team that's going to make those mistakes, right? This is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback and coach. Their defense is very legitimate. Obviously, in the second half, you would have hoped that they stopped the Eagles a few more times. But it is the Eagles at Philly. Like, the Eagles have a crazy record. I think it's like 18-0 in their last 18 games with A.J. Brown, Saquon, and Jalen Hurts all playing, something like that. Or maybe Devontae Smith is in there too. But the Eagles are just a different animal. This isn't the Eagles. You know, I think the Rams are going to get to Daniel Jones. I think this is the first game where we see Daniel Jones legitimately shaken up a little bit. I've seen that plenty in the past. It's not great. I do think it's probably still a close game. You have to like what the Colts are doing overall, and they're very well balanced. But I think the Rams are a Super Bowl contender, and I have to lean their direction. Even at 3.5, I think they make the plays when they need to. Also lean to the over in this one. I think this becomes a back-and-forth kind of affair. Bears at the Raiders. Might have to take a little sippy sip soon. My goodness, talking fast. High total is not surprising here because the Raiders defense might be as bad as Dallas and Cincinnati. I mean, it's bad. And we know Chicago is flawed. The Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams experiment suddenly looking a little better now. Their offensive line is improving, getting better marks, still have plenty of talent. Consider that against the Raiders. I mean, are Geno and Pete Carroll just beyond their prime at this point, like over their heads? Certainly looks like it. And listening to Ashton Gentry in press conferences this week, He goes, we're right where we should be. What? This is where you want to be? This is where you should be? That feels like a lack of self-awareness here. Defense was given up last week. Just didn't look good. Obviously, a huge bounce-back spot for the Raiders at home. But I would still lean Bears. I don't like anything that I'm seeing from the Raiders. The Ravens at the Chiefs. Chiefs plus 2.5. Totals 48.5. By the way, Chicago, Vegas, that's a pick 'em. Chiefs plus 2.5 at home, total 48.5. One of these teams will go 1-3, right? That's what we've been hearing all week. It's not that hard to believe for me. Baltimore usually screws up earlier in the season. We saw that last year too. And no one would thought that Kansas City is going to be the same team this year. Xavier Worthy comes back. That's a big uptick for them in the wide receiver group. But Kelce has looked terrible. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, big Taylor Swift fan. Don't hate Travis Kelce. Like, don't think Taylor Swift is that hot, you know? So it's like, I mean, I love Taylor Swift, but like, I'm not jealous of Travis Kelce. But Kelce just doesn't look good, okay? And their offensive line has absolutely not been as good. They're absolutely missing those pieces that they used to have. And now Baltimore is coming off a frustrating loss with a ton of pomp and circumstance in the Monday night game. Like, they had good Charlotte there. They had the fireworks. Disappointing loss. This feels like a calibration or a recalibration game for the Ravens, not to mention a revenge game after their 2024 loss. So lean Ravens in this one. Crazy that the Chiefs are plus 2.5 at home against anyone, right? But that's the situation this year. It's very legit. Green Bay and Dallas. I'll say this. There's going to be a lot of people on Green Bay and their survivor picks this week, and I understand that. Like, revenge spot for Micah Parsons, NFC game, right? Green Bay franchise trying to prove something here. But I think both sides are going to play up. Like, both sides are going to be very motivated in this one. So I don't think it's as much of a guarantee as odds makers and bettors and survivor pickers think. Like, I don't think this is a lock on the Packers. I think it's going to be a competitive battle for most of the game. I do think that Jordan Love, as long as he can make a few big plays, then they should be able to gain margin, because the front seven of the Packers after last week, especially, not really doing enough to shut down that game. I think they come in on fire in this one, so they're going to have an opportunity to pull ahead. That being said, this is a great example of no team is as bad or as good as their last performance, right? Now, Dallas's defense is proving to be very, very bad. When you let the Giants and the Bears put up those kinds of numbers, you're not a good defense. So I'm starting to truly believe that they have a very, very bad defense. But still, the Cowboys' worst and the, you know, Green Bay's disappointment or Green Bay's best, not necessarily is the norm, right? The mean, who these teams are. So just be careful with this one. That's the Sunday night game. Two Monday night games here, and then we will wrap this up. Jets at the Miami Dolphins. I don't think we know who's going to be a quarterback just yet. Let me look that up live here on the show, because this is insider reveals bad news on Justin Fields. Okay. So it's trending in the wrong direction for Justin Fields, and based on what Tyrod Taylor did last week, you can't feel good about the Jets' offense. Miami's defense started to wake up. It's at Miami. Tua's starting to look more like himself. Tyreek's starting to look more like himself. I can only look at Miami here. Again, two 0-3 teams, nothing comfortable about anything in this game, and it is a divisional battle. Like, the fact that Miami, again, just like against New England a few weeks ago, the fact that Miami is only a 3-point favorite at home against the Jets tells you everything you need to know about how sportsbooks and bettors project the Miami Dolphins right now. It is not good. They are not graded high, and they don't deserve to be graded high. But they did show some real grit and toughness last week. Lean Miami. And finally, what am I supposed to say about this game? I mean, if Cincinnati goes into this game and is competitive, I will be extremely impressed by Zach Taylor. Because so far, the Bengals have shown nothing on defense. Last week, they were an absolute dumpster fire at Minnesota. Like, immediately lost that game, right? Too many mistakes. I believe they had a pick six right away. Jake Browning cannot play under pressure, throws interceptions right away, like errant passes right away when he's under pressure, and they have no run game. They have like a negative run game, right? So if there is a spot for the Broncos at home to wake up and for Bo Nix to finally have a great game or an above average game, this is it. And I would not be surprised if it's a blowout. Lean Broncos, lean to the under. I think that's an ugly, ugly game. Okay, so we'll try to do this show live every single week. No promises there. You know, maybe I'm going to look like shit in the morning or something. I'm not going to want to pop on here. But it was fun to be live. Hopefully people can watch this on Twitter and enjoy that. We try to keep it a tight 30 minutes. We're just over 30 minutes right now. So going to end this. Follow me at FarleyBets on X, FarleyBets.substack.com on Substack to get all of my plays. You can also get weekly plays over there at Sports Memo. Good luck this week in week 4, everyone.